the way they pick TV shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that one show to the people who pick shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they want to make more shows. Some get chosen and become television programs. Some don't. Become nothing.
Hello and welcome to Drop the Pilot, a podcast dedicated to TV pilots that became nothing. I'm Jimmy Brown, and he is Tisto from Tisto Commentaries. Hello, Tisto.
Hello, sir. Nice to be back.
Today we are talking about the 1977 cop show pilot Bunko, starring Robert Urich and Tom Selleck. But not Tom Selleck's moustache. That didn't turn up to work when he was filming this.
No, we've got a whole... I've got a whole five-minute rant on that. You just wait.
Oh, I can't wait. It was written by Jerry Ludwig, who went on to write for MacGyver and Murder, She Wrote, and was directed by Alexander Singer, who went on to be a Star Trek guy. He directed multiple episodes of Next Generation, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, but he also did shows such as Remington Steele, Knots Landing, and Cagney and Lacey.
And it really shows. This is really well directed.
Yeah, well, I don't think I really have to ask you, Tisto, but what did you think of Bunko?
This is a great show, and the only problem is that this is a terrible episode of this show.
Right.
And it is also the only episode of this show.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
I have diagrammed out all of the actions, like Tom Selleck and Robert Urich's characters, like all of their actions, literally 75% of those lines are wait for this, wait for that, wait for this person, wait for that. And then all right, in the third act, they go talk to this guy and they get information on that guy. They go talk to that guy. They get information on this other guy. They go talk to that guy. And then nothing comes of it. They run into a dead end. So they wait around some more, and then, something happens.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
The bad guy walks to them, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, and they leave it all to the female cop.
Yeah.
Who should have been a lead, but she's quite badly written. But we'll get into that.
She's Donna Mills, and I think she's extremely well written. She's written with blonde hair. She's written to be very beautiful.
Oh, no.
Fabulous.
This is a Tisto's going to disagree with Jimmy because he quite fancies the female lead.
Oh, is that going to happen again? No. Did it happen before? I bet it probably happened before.
It has happened before. Yeah, I can't really imagine what this would have been like if it carried on. Because there's only so many scams.
Yeah, well, you could say that, though, about Lovejoy. You know, Lovejoy, he tracks down fake antiques. And yet, that was a great show, and it lasted for years.
Not the same thing, though. This is based, unless they're going to do the same con every single episode, unless it's always going to be Forgers or the Pigeon Drop, then it's not. They mention a couple of others. And
they talked to several different, they talked to the TV guy, they talked to the bank fraud guy.
My point is, those things shouldn't have happened here.
No, I agree with that,
Should have been stories later on, even though it didn't get picked up, but those should have been left, because as it stands, those scenes right now are completely pointless. They mean nothing to the overall plot, especially the TV guy.
Yeah, and they're only in there because our characters have to sit around waiting around doing nothing.
Yeah, they should have given the two heroes, quote-unquote, something to actually do instead of putting it all on this poor woman who gets nearly crippled for her troubles.
Yeah, and then they're chuckling about it at the end. Oh, we need a pretty girl in the wheelchair.
Yeah, it's so funny. I almost died. Oh, you guys. After opening credits with very 70s music, French horns and all.
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it too. We are on the streets and we first meet our two heroes, Walker, played by Urich, and Gordine, played by Selleck.
Right, yes.
It's an unusual name. Never heard Gordine before.
Yeah, it's odd, yeah.
Gordine has a new cigar given to him in celebration of a co-worker's newborn child. That's another thing, the newborn child. We meet this guy, the cop, who has just had a child. Well, his wife has.
James Hampton, a wonderful, wonderful actor. He was in Teen Wolf's Dad. That's right. Yeah, he was in Disney movies and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes absolutely nowhere. That is completely pointless as well. There's an entire scene where they're just talking about the newborn child, and it lasts like a minute.
Right, because they're waiting around for the con woman.
Yes, but it's boring.
Well, it's character. It's the beginning. I don't know.
They should have given James Hampton more to do than my wife's just had a child.
Well, right, yes.
That's his entire storyline in this pilot. He does nothing else.
Yeah, and there are just some jokes around it, yeah.
Yeah. Walker doesn't seem too happy that he didn't get one, but who cares? It's never really mentioned again, the cigar thing. We see two women, one older, one younger. The older gives the younger one some money, and the cops swoop in to arrest the younger woman. She kicks Walker in the leg and runs away, while Gordine gives chase. And I won't lie, I thought Tom Selleck looked kind of cool running through traffic with a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, yeah.
It didn't last long enough.
Yeah, she didn't give him much of a run for his money, right? Yeah.
No, he nearly got hit by about five cars, but, you know, that was his fault for running out in traffic. That wasn't anything to do with her. She wasn't being smart or clever or anything.
No.
She just ran a bit faster. He catches up to the woman and arrests her. At the police station, Walker explains to the older woman that she was part of a pigeon drop. She was in on this arrest, though. The cops intercepted the woman at the bank to catch the other woman, who is called Nikki. Later, Walker and Gordine are talking to Nikki to try and get her to turn on Sonny, but she denies even knowing someone by that name. Right, so am I alone here, or is Tom Selleck by far the better actor of the two?
Yeah, Robert Urich doesn't have a lot of character in this, but I think he did the job that he usually does in television. I've never been a huge fan of Robert Urich.
Yeah, Selleck is more charismatic by far. The way, especially later on in the scene, I have got it in my notes, but I'll mention it here, but later on with the scene where they're talking to Frankie at first, and Urich is talking over Selleck. He's like butting in.
Yeah, yeah.
That just comes across to me as Urich is acting like a rookie cop and not an established cop. And I know they're friends and they've known each other for years, but it's the way Urich plays it that sort of doesn't sit right with me. He just plays it as though someone who hasn't done this before. Whereas Selleck, and I maybe not have felt that way if Selleck wasn't just so damn good at every single line he delivered in this pilot. Just the way he's, like, he's acting. Urich just seems to be playing Urich, to be fair.
It seems a little unfair, but okay, all right. It's an evaluation.
Well, counter.
Well, I agree. I just don't agree as strongly as you. I don't feel as strongly as you feel.
No, it's not something I feel, you know, I'm not, like, angry about it or anything. It was just something I noted in my notes to talk about.
Okay. Even hampered by the fact that he has no mustache, Tom Selleck is very compelling.
He is, yeah. The mustache doesn't mean anything. He's just Tom Selleck. It's just, we're not used to seeing him with the mustache. It's not the source of his power.
Now, those are fighting words there. The mustache does, in fact, mean something. Let's move on. Let's just move on.
I'm sorry for insulting the mustache. I don't know what I was thinking. Let's just move on to the next scene.
Yes.
At court, Nikki is given bail, and she leaves with a pimp-looking dude who we learn is Sonny.
Yes. Alan Feinstein, a marvelous, again, another marvelous character actor.
Yeah. Oh, he's good. I just have a problem with the character.
Yeah, the character. Yeah, I agree. The character's a bit over the top.
Yeah.
With his hats and stuff.
And to make him act and look like a pimp is pretty odd. Because another aspect of one of the scenes that was cut, Frankie tells Sonny, because he's all dressed like a pimp, she tells him that she's a lesbian. And he says, that's cool. Doesn't matter. Who cares about that? Which is actually quite forward-thinking for a 70s show.
Yeah, if he's a pimp, I guess he would have run into that before, probably.
No,
but okay.
But the point is, he's not a pimp. The point is,
he's not, though?
No, he's not a pimp. All these girls, none of these girls are prostitutes. Tom Selleck even says that he doesn't have these girls hooking. He only has them for scams. So he's dressed and he acts like a pimp, like he's all jive talking and everything, even though he's a white guy. Yeah, he does. There's no sex involved in this. It's a sexless management job he has.
I misunderstood then, because yeah, it totally came across as both pimp and con man.
Yeah, exactly. That's my problem with it, because he's a stereotypical pimp, but he's not a pimp. And it's just pointless having him look and dress like this. To me, anyway, because you thought he was a pimp.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so it just kind of... And if they weren't going for that, because they do state that he is not into the sex thing, that he doesn't get these girls hooking, I just think it's pointless. But I do think the actor plays him well. So I don't know if that was maybe like a studio note, if the intention was he was supposed to be a pimp, but the studio said, no, you know, we're maybe aiming at our sort of family audience here. Do you want to just sort of tone down the sex stuff, even though we throw a woman out of a car and almost cripple her? Do you want to just sort of tone down the sex stuff? So, I don't know. Outside, Nikki and Sonny see the two cops who are sitting on Sonny's car.
They talk about the car. It's a very nice car, yep.
Yeah, it's a very nice car. Yes, you can talk about the car if you wish.
Rolls-Royce Silver Phantom, I believe.
It's very nice, and two grown men sat on it. How dare they? Get off the bloody nice car. The cops threaten Sonny with the IRS, but he doesn't care, and he and Nikki drive away. The cops try to think of a way they can get Sonny, and Walker suggests Frankie. Next scene in the mall, we see a dude with a moustache. He steals a purse from a blonde woman on an escalator. As he goes to look inside, he sees that it has a police badge in it. The woman he stole from is Frankie, and she and another cop arrest the man. Walker and Gordine approach Frankie with an offer.
I love this guy who plays this guy. He's absolutely calm when he sees the thing, and when they go to arrest him, he shakes the cop's hand. They know each other already. That was a great thing.
Yeah, it's like, he didn't try to run or anything. They're just like, yeah, no, fair enough. I've been caught. Let's, you know. An offer that we don't learn until they're all back at the police station. So they say, we have a proposition for you, and they don't tell her until they get to the actual police station.
Yeah, it's one of those movie television things.
Yeah, it's a TV cliche.
Where they they travel a long distance, and then they talk about something. Like, that happens all the time. It's weird.
It does. They want Frankie to go undercover as Sonny employs women to do his scams.
I love the bit there where Selleck breaks in and says, you know, even back when we were in the fifth grade, he had these crazy ideas. I always got blamed for them. This stuff like that is great.
Yeah. Yeah. The two leads work well off each other. Mm-hmm. I just think one's better than the other.
You mean the three leads? Because Donna Mills is now clearly the star of the
show.
She
should be the lead. It should be Selleck and Donna Mills. It should absolutely be those two.
She's credited as like a special guest star, but surely she would be a recurring.
I know, you would think so.
Or something. I don't know. She's great.
Frankie walks the streets, followed by Sonny, who approaches her when she's sitting alone. Now, in the version we watched on YouTube, the scene cuts to a room and Sonny is threatening violence on Frankie, so we missed a little bit. To say that escalated quickly would be a bit of an understatement.
Well, I want to point out too, at the end of that interview, when they're trying to convince her to join them, they're very specific. Like, we're going to be right behind you the whole time, right behind you. And then she goes off and she gets involved with Sonny, and immediately our heroes go off on a bank fraud case, and the two other detectives are the ones watching Frankie now.
Yeah, and she's been threatened with violence.
Yeah.
He's pressing his thumbs against her eyes. So, you know, great work, cops. There's also two other scenes that are missing from this.
Oh?
One where Sonny is teaching girls the pigeon drop in his house, and another where we first meet Dixon, who's a petty criminal, and he's driving around with his pregnant girlfriend, and he's just robbed a liquor store. So the version we watched, we see him in the diner. Uh-huh. But we actually meet him before. He's just robbed a store, and his pregnant girlfriend's driving him around.
Are you not going to say anything about Donna Mills' outfit that she picks out where she's shopping with the...
I'm just getting to that scene, actually. But I wasn't going to mention the outfit, but you can.
Okay.
Since you're a big Donna Mills fan.
It's a very I Dream of Jeannie outfit, isn't it?
It is. It really, yeah.
And she's like, I love it. And then the other woman comes up with a frumpy dress and is like, no, you have to wear a frumpy dress for cons.
Yeah. Nikki tells her to try on a square dress, as Frankie calls it.
That's right. Like a square.
Yeah. She has to look frumpy, I think.
Right.
So people won't believe that she's a thief, I imagine.
Right, yeah, she has to look innocent, yes.
Yeah. Frankie's been watched by the two other cops, the dad from Teen Wolf, and they're talking about, they're just two grown men just looking at children's clothes.
Yeah, well, the joke there is like, yeah, like my daughter's going to wear this, and the other guy is like, you know, it's for a teenager. And the other guy is like, you just had a baby, she's just still in diapers.
Now we're at a bank, and Walker and Gordine have already forgotten about Frankie.
Yeah, yeah.
They're talking to the manager about fake checks that are getting passed around. Nothing much here.
Well, the manager is Kenneth Mars.
Yeah.
Who is, again, one of those wonderful comic actors.
There's a lot of those in this. You know, good cast, but doing nothing, because here, Kenneth Mars has just been a dick manager, constantly telling his assistant to shut up.
It's not particularly funny, is it? No, it's not great. No. Yeah, unfortunately.
Next scene in a diner, Dixon asks the owner if he knows of any scams that he can get involved in. The owner, who's no longer in that line of work, suggests a special club for him to attend, a scam artist's club, basically.
Yeah, and that guy is also, his name is Henry, the character, but Richard Bakalian?
Yeah, I've seen him before, but...
Yeah, he's one of those guys that was in a lot of stuff at the time. You would recognize him if you saw him, yeah. Dixon is Michael Sachs, and he's a guy that I recognize, but he never ran a big career. I don't remember him in a lot of stuff.
He's also credited as a special guest star, I think.
Well, yeah, he's kind of the villain, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true, but special guest star is not usually reserved for someone who, you know, a name.
Well, true, yeah. He literally just had little kind of bit parts like this on McLeod and stuff. Oh, you know what? He was in Sugarland Express. Was he the bad guy in Sugarland Express? Or was he a cop in that movie?
I've never seen Sugarland Express.
Oh, that's one of the first Steven Spielberg films.
Yeah.
And Amityville Horror also, people might know him from.
Yeah, so Walker and Gordine are just doing their own thing, so don't worry about them. Back to Sonny and Dixon. I mean, you don't really need to know anything about that. They meet each other in the club and they decide to go in business together. That's basically it.
Well, we should say the club is a weird thing. It's like you said, it's a club for con men.
Yeah.
And they're playing cards and there's some magic that's going on.
Yeah.
And the guy who hosts it is Will Gear, who is, again, one of those guys that he's an old guy, but you'd recognize him from a million TV shows and stuff. I think he was on The Waltons as the grandpa on The Waltons.
Yeah. Oh, is that all right? Okay. He has my favorite monologue in the entire show later on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Back to Sonny and Dixon, who are at a counterfeiter. Counterfeiter? That's a weird word. In a parking lot, Walker and Gordine have remembered about Frankie and are watching her. Nikki and Sonny get into a car and drive away. As the cops begin to follow, they hit another car pulling out of a parking space. Sonny and the ladies get away. They're not very good cops.
Yeah, they play tic-tac-toe twice in this show. They just wait around for stuff to happen.
And then when they're finally there and they have a job to do, 2 seconds after they start driving, they hit another car.
Right, yeah, they're waiting around for this big thing to happen, and they get a little fender bender, and they go, oh, well, I guess we've lost him. It's like, we have to take care of this fender bender. There's insurance involved. It's crazy. But you skip the whole bank fraud guy, though.
Which bank fraud guy?
So they were talking to... They were talking to the bank manager about the bank fraud, and they're waiting around. And so it goes back and forth between them waiting around and other stuff actually happening with the con men. But then they talk to the guy who actually committed the bank fraud.
All right. No, yeah, that's in my notes. Sorry. I just passed it. Yeah. And hey, it's that guy as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sidney Lassick is his name. He's one of those guys that you've seen dozens of times. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that goes nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. It goes nowhere. And that's probably why I've just passed it by in my notes.
Well, we can't not talk about these guys. There's Artie Johnson. You just breezed past Artie Johnson.
No, but he's in it again later. And I talk
well,
about
that's
it
true.
Later.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And he's making, he's writing, he's making checks. He's making fake checks.
Yeah. He's making fake checks for Dixon to use.
Yeah.
To use Dixon and Frankie to pretend to be a married couple to go around all these stores and purchasing stuff with the checks and then pocketing the change.
It's very strange. The girls are waiting in the parking lot for Sonny to show up, mm-hmm. Sonny and Dixon. And Sonny and Dixon show up in Dixon's car, his like beat up junker car.
Mm-hmm.
But the girls are waiting at Sonny's Rolls Royce.
Right.
That was a weird thing that didn't make sense logistically.
They mention it later on that the reason they catch Sonny is because he came back for his car. They have people watching his car.
Right, but it doesn't make sense.
We
got to have the car in the scene. That's why the car is in the scene. Yeah, right.
But I think it's maybe because also that it's a bit conspicuous because, you know, it's a Rolls Royce and everybody knows what kind of car Sonny drives. So he's driving around in this beat up old one. So the cops can't catch him.
Which works because they immediately lose the car.
Yeah, right. So Frankie and Dixon are pretending to be man and wife, getting fake checks and stuff. And the first shop they go to, they get $279.51 change.
Dixon wants big scores. I gotta have some big scores, man.
Yeah.
$200.
Yeah, so next scene, Walker and Gordine are doing their own thing again, talking to a guy who bought what he thought was a TV for $50, but all he got was a box of television frame with no electronics in it. So again, nothing seen, not needed.
No, but we're skipping over the cashier at the previous scene was Burton Gilliam.
Oh, jeez.
You'll remember him from Blazing Saddles. He had a big role in that and a bunch of other stuff. So this thing is just jam-packed.
And there's a lot of recognizable faces.
The TV guy is Bobby Vann that you would recognize if you watched TV when I was a kid.
I think I vaguely recognized him, but I think he just reminded me of someone else rather than actually.
Yeah, he was in a bunch of stuff, but he wasn't a big actor, no. Here's the thing. Any episode of Rockford Files would have, like, one of these guys in it. But this has, like, 10 different guys that are all people you recognize.
It is. It's really good how they just got all these recognizable faces and this one pilot. And again, that's just, you would think that they would save these character actor guys for like an episode. One of these guys would appear in an episode and that bit, the television guy would turn up in episode 2 rather than this one. Or the guy playing the counterfeiter would turn up in episode 3 rather than this one or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. But here, they just shoot the load. They just shove them all in at one go. Yep. And here's all these character actors. With all the storylines, all the things that don't go anywhere, all these nothing scenes that happen, it's almost as though they knew they weren't going to get a second episode. You know what? F it. Let's just put them all in and just write everything in. Just put all these actors in. It doesn't matter.
Well, they might have thought, this is the pilot. We want to make it really good. We want to pack it with lots of good stuff. But what they didn't pack it with was good story.
Yes.
The heroes just don't have anything to do.
Yeah, they don't give the heroes anything to do. And I do like the fact that Frankie is more in the limelight than the actual two heroes of the show. But what they do to Frankie is quite inexcusable, to be honest.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, I agree.
Right. Another store trying to buy some more stuff with the fake checks. Dixon is getting a little handsy with Frankie and she nearly breaks his finger. Outside, he threatens her, but she tells him that she'll break his finger off next time. In Dixon's car, Dixon gives Sonny money. Sonny money. Which Dixon isn't happy about because he wants to keep some for himself. At the police station, Teen Wolf's dad asks Walker about Frankie, and he says he doesn't know. She's out there someplace.
Yeah, she'll turn up. That's their. They keep cutting back to these guys, and they're just like, "Yeah, she'll turn up. Yeah, sorry we lost her, but
yeah, she'll turn up. She knows what she's doing. You know,
it happens like 3 or 4 times.
She almost dies, but you know, at least she turned up. Back in the car, and Dixon is getting mouthy with Sonny, and Frankie tells Dixon to cool down. He does when Sonny tells him that they already have almost $2,000, and he and Frankie exit to get more. So where did they get? I think they've only been to, I don't know how many stores they've been to, but they must have been to a lot of stores if the first store they only got $200, and now they've got almost $2,000.
Right, yeah, now it's going to be like 10 stores. Yeah, that's a lot.
Walker and Gordine talk about Frankie and how she probably thinks they're right behind her, because she probably does, you fools.
But also, whenever they hang paper, whenever they pass these bad checks, they're supposed to be buying stuff and getting the rest of the money. It's a paycheck. It's supposed to be a paycheck.
Yeah.
They pay for it with you could do that in the 70s, is give a paycheck and get the rest of the money as cash. But when they walk out of the store, they don't have hardly anything. They've just got some, like a duvet cover or something.
Exactly, yeah.
They haven't bought very much.
This show would be completely different if it was made today. because they don't do that sort of thing anymore. And it would all be about credit card scams and sort of thing. Online banking and stuff. It's probably what CSI Cyber was about. I don't know. I didn't watch CSI Cyber.
Yep.
So at a department store, Dixon hands the shop assistant a check, and she tells him that they have to get it approved at customer service. Frankie knows what is up because Frankie is the best. And she tries to tell Dixon, but he doesn't listen, because as she's a cop, she knows the signs that please go over there, I'm going to phone the cops on you.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You
know,
basically,
she knows that, but he's not listening to her.
Although it's not clear why she doesn't want to get caught. Like, I guess she wants the whole thing to keep playing out, and they're going to catch Sonny as well as Dixon.
Because at some point, soon as the cops turn up, Sonny's gone. So
right, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Trying to catch both. At the police station, the head cop, I assume, I don't really know, he asks who wants to go to the department store down the street to stop some possible fraud from happening. Nobody wants to take it because these cops are bad at their job.
Again, they're just waiting around.
Yeah. And their boss says, hey, here's a job. Here's some forgers. Who wants to do this? Nah, it's not my job. It's not, you know, I don't do that sort of thing. You work in bunco? You work in fraud? Not for me. Gordine decides it may be worth a look, and he takes a reluctant walker with him. Dixon is getting anxious, and Frankie tells him to calm down, but he opens fire when he sees a security guard.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It's the shadow of a security guard.
Through the glass, and he shoots above it. He doesn't actually shoot at it.
It immediately opens fire. He was like 65 years old. He immediately sticks his hands up. He doesn't even go for his own gun.
Frankie identifies herself as a cop and is promptly taken hostage.
Yeah, that was too bad, wasn't it? did not work out well at all. You're under arrest. Oh, no, you're under arrest, lady.
Yeah, see, that's why I think she's not very well written.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, she's great. And I do like Frankie, the character. But the way her story ends in this, I just really don't like it.
Yep.
Dixon commandeers a car because Sonny's fled.
It is a 73 Ford Ranchero, I believe.
All right. I didn't really notice it. I didn't really pay much attention to it.
What? It looks like an El Camino. It's like a car with a pickup truck bed. And it's yellow with red stripes.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize again. Tesco, holy s***. I'm sorry. Wow.
Sorry.
You will notice these cars. Gordine has to stop Walker from firing at the car because Frankie's in it, and also because Walker isn't a very good cop.
And he's not a very good shot. I think later on we say he's not a very good shot.
Yeah, so that would have been pointless him firing anyway because he would have bloody missed. Dixon has Frankie. Oh no, what's going to happen? Next scene, we see Walker and Gordine drive to a hill where Frankie is on a stretcher getting carried up. Dixon didn't need her anymore, so he opened the door and kicked her out.
Yeah, they do not attempt to follow. They do not commandeer a car and have a car chase. They just watch them drive away and go, well, she'll turn up.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, you're right to go back to that part because that is frustrating. He stops him from shooting a gun, but instead of doing anything else, they just stand there. And then, you know, commercial break fade out. And then the next commercial break fade up. Frankie's in a stretcher, almost dead.
Yeah, Dixon has driven up into the mountains and thrown her down a cliff.
Exactly.
What? Okay.
Oh, see, it's frustrating. It's just so... Oh. Okay, never mind. She's alive, so that's the main thing. She doesn't turn up to the end again, but she's alive, so it's good. Later, Walker and Gordine talk to the guy who runs the scam school. He decides to talk when he hears that Dixon tried to kill a cop. He laments the modern times, and his day and age, con men used to use their wits and not weapons. And I really like this monologue. I think that this is the best written part of the pilot, and he delivers it really, really well.
Sure.
you know, just this older sort of con man just lamenting that these young scamps these days with their guns and their knives and hurting people.
Yeah.
And back in my day, we just tricked them and stole their money.
Yeah, he's basically Ryan O'Neill, right, from Paper Moon.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
He tells the cops that the diner owner recommended Dixon. At the diner, the owner tells, what was his name again? Henry, did you say?
Henry, that's right, yes.
Henry tells them about Dixon's pregnant girlfriend. Remember her? She was a thing. She was in like a scene or two.
Mm-hmm.
The cops raid the house, but Dixon isn't there. The girlfriend is portrayed as not being all there mentally, I think.
Yeah, she's very passive. Yeah. I like that character for what it was. Yeah.
Really? I don't think the women are very well written in this.
Well, I mean, it's deliberate in that particular case. Yeah. I agree that Frankie could be better.
Well, the possible exception is Frankie, but she gets taken hostage and is disposed of right away. The older lady earlier is clueless, and Nikki is just a sassy black woman.
Well, I like Nikki. Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah, but I don't think she's... I think she's likable because of the actress. I don't think she's likable because of the character per se, or because of the dialogue she has. I think it's the actress who is good in that part and has a personality. I think that is what...
I think the fact that we're talking about four or five female characters in a 1970s cop show is actually pretty good.
Yeah, but they're not well written. They get disposed of quite quickly. And, I mean, where's Nikki? Nikki doesn't turn up again. It would have been great if they had arrested her and she was at the police station at the end as well. Get some more sass from her. But no. She just disappears. I think the last time we saw Nikki was when she was standing outside and just before they crashed the car.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, I just wish that they could have brought her back in.
I'd like to point out also, because I'm watching this while we're talking about it, that in the background, you almost have to watch this twice just to watch the people in the background who literally just wander by and look, stare at the camera. It is hilarious.
I love it when people do that.
It is clearly just extras on the street who probably were unpaid, literally just wandering by going, what's going on over there?
At the police station, Sonny has been brought in because he returned to get his Rolls Royce in the parking lot.
Our heroes also do not capture Sonny.
No.
They just sit around waiting and they go, oh, Sonny got captured. Oh, yes. Good.
They yell at him a lot. And Selleck is far more convincing than Urich.
Oh, you can see it in his eyes. He's jealous of that mustache. And you can almost
That's
hear the conversation with the director. I should have a mustache.
Yeah.
And my mustache should be bigger. And then it's like, no, and there was a fist fight and there were some drunken brawls and there was, yes, some arguments. And then later on, he decided, after doing the show, he's like, I'm not going forward with this pilot now. I'm going to make my own show with a mustache.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 4 years later, I'm going to star in a show where I have a mustache.
That's right.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, it took him 4 years to grow that mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a process.
That is why it took between Bunko and Magnum PI for Tom Selleck to become, you know, anything, because he grew that mustache in that 4 years.
You have to grow the mustache, and then you have to take acting lessons, because now you're a different actor with the mustache.
Oh, right. So, yeah. It has to work with the actual mustache.
Exactly. Now. You have to do some mustache acting now.
Sonny wants a deal for valuable info, which is basically just where the counterfeiter is. See, I can't say that word, and I actually did swear there by saying a different word. And I also accidentally wrote that word without the O earlier. So I think I just have...
He's a feckless counterfeiter.
Yeah. In this scene where Sonny's getting interrogated, you can see the shadow of the boom mic on the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At the counterfeiters...
When they're doing that interrogation, uh-huh. they sort of try to do a good cop, bad cop thing, and Robert Urich is supposed to be the bad cop.
And they're just exactly the same. Both shouting at them, so they're not being good cop, bad cop. They're being really annoying cop and Tom Selleck cop.
And Sonny just completely breaks down anyway.
Yeah. You know, Tom Selleck is a big man. I would actually be quite intimidated if he was shouting in my face, although probably more so with the mustache.
Well, I don't know. He's very, very handsome. I mean, both of them are very handsome.
They're attractive men, yes. At the counter fetters, counterfeiters. I can't say that word. At that dude who makes fake things, he admits he gave Dixon fake checks for a particular bank. So do you want to talk about the dude who plays the word I can't pronounce?
That's Artie Shaw. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody would know him from Laugh-In.
Yeah.
He played the little old man that would get hit with a purse by Ruth Buzzy, and he played the German who would peek out of the bushes and go, "Very interesting."
Yeah, I remember that.
But he was on all kinds of stuff, Love Boat episodes, and he did voices on animation and
yeah.
Fantasy Island and stuff like that. Just a million things. He had his own cartoon. He was called Baggy Pants and the Nitwits.
Really?
Where he played that. Yeah, he did the voice of that character, the old man with the baggy pants.
Oh, I'm going to have to try and find that. That sounds amazing. It wasn't made by Hanna-Barbera by any chance, was it?
I don't know.
I don't think it was. That doesn't sound like... Because I know quite a lot of Hanna-Barbera cartoons, and I don't recognize that, but it does sound like something Hanna-Barbera would do. They made a Laverne and Shirley cartoon, for crying out loud.
DePatty and Freeling, so no, it was not Hanna-Barbera.
All right, okay, the guys who made Pink Panther cartoons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Walker and Gordine stake out a bank by sitting inside it to wait for Dixon, because he's got he's hitting all these different branches to get loads of money, which is actually quite a good idea.
And stakeout is a very generous term. They are sitting in playing tic-tac-toe again.
Yeah. We don't call that tic-tac-toe over here. We call it knots and crosses.
Okay. You also say snakes and ladders, which is a weird version of it. We say chutes and ladders.
Yeah.
I always thought it would make more sense if your version was trees and snakes.
Or vines.
Yeah, something like that. If they were both natural things instead of a ladder.
Snake. Yeah, the idea of Dixon going around the banks with all these, it's one bank but different branches of the same bank.
Artie Shaw gave him a cash card of some kind,
but he also gave him some checks as well, he said.
Oh.
So he's cashing in one check at each branch, so that's a good idea in theory, but he has to do it pretty quickly.
Right, yeah.
One branch could find out that it's a fake and then phone all the other branches.
Not only that, but the cops could just call the bank.
Yeah. He doesn't think that the cops are going to find out about that. He doesn't know Sonny's been arrested, so he doesn't think they're going to find out about the word I can't pronounce. Yeah, so Dixon, he's just hurrying up, just trying to get money so he can leave the city, I think. But yeah, so luckily, they're just sitting there playing tic-tac-toe. And Dixon just turns up at the bank that they're in. Gordine goes outside and Walker stays behind Dixon. However, an older woman gets in the way and Gordine is taken hostage.
Yeah, she kind of gets in the way. He grabs her, then he throws her away and he grabs him.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's clumsy. Well, I mean, it works.
I get that Dixon's got a gun, but Tom Selleck's like a foot taller than this man. You can tell he's much bigger than him because of the way he's standing. He's slouching so the guy can have his arm round his neck, whereas if he stood up,
right,
all he had to do is just stand up straight, and that would be that. Yeah. But I understand he does have a gun.
Yeah, I can't imagine what shooting that scene was like, because you've got to hold Tom Selleck by the neck.
Yeah,
I mean he's a tall guy, but slender. He's got to weigh over 200 pounds.
Yeah.
You're holding this guy up with one arm.
Exactly. It is
a very funny thing, yes.
It would make more sense if it was Walker who was taken hostage, because Urich's a bit shorter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any difference anyway, because Gordine overpowers him anyway. He just sort of stands up, knocks him down, and then Walker points a gun at him, and it looks like he's going to shoot him because of everything he's done and because he threw his mate out of a car. And that's it, basically. He's arrested.
Yeah, it's a weird moment where you're thinking like, oh, he might try to shoot him anyway, and mm-hmm. then it would be, you know, he would get shot. But then instead, he kind of gives up, except by giving up, all he does is just sort of put his head down on the car.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually let go of the gun.
No, he's still holding it. Like, he's lying on the bonnet of the car on his front, and he's got his face turned so he can look at Walker, and Walker's pointing a gun at him. But he's holding the gun, but then he just sort of lets his hand sort of, you know, loose a little bit.
Yeah, he just relaxes.
He doesn't move the gun. He doesn't shove it away. He still sort of has his hand on the gun.
Yeah, that was odd. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. There was something else I wanted to talk about. When we see Dixon at the bank, he was in a different branch of the bank earlier, of course, and he was getting some money out there. The teller is counting his money to him, and she's clearly counting, she's counting, $200 in $5 bills. Except what she says is 85, 90, 91, 2. That last bill must be a $9 bill. She was clearly supposed to say 95. I had to run that back a couple of times and go, that is exact. Yeah, she did. She said 91.
I didn't notice that. Yeah, so the guys visit Frankie, who's resting in a wheelchair, but I don't think the implication is that she's, you know, no longer able to walk or anything.
I certainly hope not, no.
Yeah, because that'd be quite mean-spirited, because it's these two arseholes' fault that she's in this predicament in the first place.
Well, yeah, because they joke about it.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
I want to point out, too, that Robert Urich is wearing a sweater that is extremely Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, Starsky and Hutch, that was a good show. Frankie asks Walker what he was thinking when he had his gun on Dixon, and Gordine reveals that Walker misses his first shot every single time. So what would have happened? He would have shot at him and then missed, and then Tom Selleck would be dead.
That's why they work bunco instead of homicide.
Yeah, because they're not good shots. Yeah. So they say they have a job for Frankie. They have laughs. The end.
Yeah, we need a pretty girl in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Wow. It's wow. Funny.
Wow.
It's funny because you almost died.
And then the credits are all only from this episode. They didn't shoot anything else to put into the credits.
No. A lot of shows did that, though, didn't they? In those days, they show scenes from the episode you just watched.
Most TV shows would have, like, you know, clips from various episodes to in the credits, even for the pilot.
The A-Team has, and Magnum as well, I think. It's all from the episode that just happened.
Just that one episode?
It usually would be, like, say, like, if in the A-Team, someone was jumping off somewhere to jump on someone else, they would always show the person jump, and then it would pause in mid-air.
Yes, I remember that now. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, Testo, any final thoughts on Bunko?
I do. I want to point out again the structure of this is that our main characters wait around over and over again. When Frankie turns up after she's been dumped, this is the third act now. They go to the old man, con man. He sends them to the cook. The cook sends them to Dixon's girlfriend, and Dixon's girlfriend gives them nothing. It is a dead end, and they sit around again. Yeah. And have to wait for Sonny to show up. It's just unbelievably self-defeating.
Yeah, because, yeah, as you said, after they go at the girlfriend, they just luck out because they go back to the police station and Sonny's there because someone else has arrested them for something, for picking up his car.
Yeah, you think, oh, these characters are finally doing something. Yeah. They're going, they're talking, they're following clues, they're talking to people, they're getting information, and then boom, dead end.
And then they go to a bank, play tic-tac-toe, one of them gets held hostage, and he gets out of that himself, and the other one just points a gun and arrests the guy. They practically do nothing this entire pilot.
And yet, even so, I loved it. I thought it was fabulous. I want to see more. This was not a good episode,
yeah,
but I want to see more of
this. Hopefully episode 2 is better. It should pick up better.
I'll have to watch other Robert Urich and Tom Selleck TV shows and go from there. I'll watch Gavilan.
Gavilan, yeah. I watched the opening credits to that on YouTube today because it was linked on Bunko. There's full episodes of that on YouTube. Uh-huh. And I think I probably will watch them. What was the other one Urich was in? Spencer for Hire.
I
remember that.
And one about Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, but I remember Spencer for Hire. And of course, I love Magnum. I still think Magnum's a great show. I've watched it recently and it still holds up. Right, well, this pilot, it's a flimsy sort of thing that probably wouldn't last longer, but I do like the idea of it, the whole con man thing.
I do because it's lower stakes.
Yeah.
It's not people getting killed every episode, so you could have more fun with it. And I generally wish that they had gone on and done more.
I do think that this isn't a particularly good pilot.
Yeah.
but I would have watched more. Pilots don't have to be amazing for you to watch episode two. It just has to have a good idea that you like.
Yep.
Yeah, and I like Donna Mills. She should have been one of the leads.
She looks really young. She was born in 1940, so in 1978 she was 38 years old.
Yeah, I think this was shot in 76 to be released in 70. I don't think it aired. But it was actually released in 1985, I think. It was released on home video because Magnum was a thing.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
The front cover of it is mental because it's like, it's a very 80s sort of cover for a 1977 show. And it's all sexy. And
Frankie's in stockings and a black dress, and she's got a gun, and she's turned toward the camera. Yeah. And their heads are in the guy's heads are in the background.
It's amazing he didn't say, you know, Tom Selleck has a mustache in Magnum. Maybe we should put a mustache on this picture of Tom Selleck. You know, just to sell it more. Even though, you know, people will be disappointed when they watch it and he doesn't have that magnificent mustache. Well, I'm going to post that on my blog, that picture, because the front cover, because it's amazing. It's got nothing to do with the show, but it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of the poster for the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah.
Has Humphrey Bogart on it, and he's got a real short buzz cut, and he's holding two guns. He's shooting two guns.
Right.
Well, that's from like an earlier movie where he played a gangster.
All right.
And he, because in Maltese Falcon, he says he doesn't even carry a gun.
That's right.
It's very funny.
That's right. That's all we have time for today. Talking about this Bunko. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter at Drop the Pilot Pod. Email using dropthepilotpod@gmail.com and visit the blog. Drop the Pilot Pod. blogspot.co.uk. It's very long. You'll find episodes there and extra stuff. So, Tisto, where can the listeners find you?
You can find me on tisto.com, TYSTO.com.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to thank Tisto for joining me again. It's been a lively discussion.
I loved this one.
And thank you all for listening. Goodbye.